This is Unmasked, the Stigma of Meth. I'm Nick Ciano. In this episode, we sit down with Hunter Cruz. He is currently a grad student, but was involved with the Immersive Learning Project out of the College of Architecture and Planning, led by Jonathan Spodek. This immersive learning class helped rehabilitate a former meth house. Kelsey Dickison contributed to this podcast, so you'll hear her chime in from time to time.
So basically, could you just walk us through this project that you did?
Yeah, so we started in mid-January. I started it as a studio for my last semester of senior year, and this house had been busted as a meth lab.
The homeowner was in jail, and the house fell into disrepair.
So the organization that I worked for, Eco Rehab, had contacted him. They'd had their eye on this neighborhood for a while. That's where the city is targeting for their reinvestment for the next several years.
And with the city aiming to put money into the area, Eco Rehab wanted to do the same. So they bought up the property.
By the time we got there, they'd already done a professional meth remediation.
Eco Rehab hired a licensed cleaning crew to decontaminate the home. Samples are taken from every room using a wipe about as big as a CD case. The sample wipes are sent to either Nevada or Utah for testing. If the level of contamination is too high, according to Indiana law, then the house must be cleaned and the furniture in the home must be disposed of. In the case of the house at 1215 West 10th Street, the interior was completely gutted.
So most of the demolition was done. All the drywall, all the plumbing, all the electric had been taken out of it.
The entire frame of the house had to be recreated after termite damage. The interior and exterior were completely renovated. The crawl space had to be entirely gutted after the weight from an additional second floor forced the entire house to sink, ever so slowly, into the ground.
At some point, someone had cut a hole through the ceiling and built a staircase and made it basically a story and a half. That's actually where the meth lab was on the second floor.
What was the first thought you had when you walked into this house?
Why aren't we tearing it down? I mean, there was really nothing left at that point. And I knew that they'd already spent a ton of money and were going to put a ton of money more into it. And I mean, it was a mess. The way that they had it framed, they just kept dividing it. So it's only I think it was about 850 square feet.
He said it felt like a bunch of closets clustered in one area.
What neighborhood was the house that you rebuilt in?
It's called Thomas Park Avondale. It's on West 10th Street.
Can you tell us a little bit about that neighborhood? I'm assuming you spent quite a lot of time there over the semester.
Yeah. Thomas Park Avondale is it's a heavily distressed neighborhood. We got kind of lucky. The block that we worked on was probably one of the nicest blocks. I would go ahead and say it's the nicest block in the neighborhood. Most of the houses on that block were owner-occupied, which is not something you could probably say for the rest of that neighborhood.
Much of Thomas Park Avondale is renter-occupied. Blocks like this one, with mostly owner-occupied houses, have a lot of pride in their homes, many of which have stayed in their family across a couple generations.
The people that live next door had lived there since the 60s. The people across the street moved in the mid-70s. There was a guy that was catty-corner that had lived there for about 20, 25 years. So it was a nice working class, middle class block that we were on. But if you went really any other direction from that one block.
To the north was the abandoned General Motors factory lot. To the south was a rundown gas station. To the east was a former elementary school that had become practicing grounds for graffiti artists.
To the west of us was where the really... I don't know that it was rough, but it was certainly perceived as rough. People hadn't really taken care of their houses. There wasn't really any economic opportunities that would allow them to take care of their house or their property.
The students working on the project had to earn the trust of a lot of the neighbors.
You know, here we show up. It's a group of students, and we're just like pulling stuff off the house. They didn't know what was going on. I know the people across the street, he was either 85 or 90, I can't remember. But, you know, they were kind of worried about it, and their daughter and son-in-law came to visit one time, and he came, and I mean, he kind of confronted us about, you know, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. He was making sure that we weren't going to do something that was going to be detrimental to their property value.
People were honest once they opened up to the students. They saw renters as detrimental to the social fabric of the neighborhood and were hopeful that the house would be owner-occupied.
How does the house compare now that it's finished to when you first saw it?
It's night and day. I mean, I don't really know how to describe it. It probably looked more like a barn whenever we started. I mean, a lot of the windows were busted. There were holes in the foundation where animals were coming in and out. There was really no kind of interior finishing on it. There was a subfloor and the original plaster ceiling, which they had installed a drop ceiling. So the meth hadn't affected that original ceiling, which was above. So they left the plaster ceiling and a subfloor, and that was pretty much it. Like I said, there were animals coming in and out. It was just filth everywhere. And I mean, now it's a house that I think pretty much anybody would be proud to live in. Albeit it's tiny, but but I mean, it's nice. And it's going to be dirt cheap to live in.
That's it for this episode. If you have any questions or want to talk to us about what we're covering, you can email us at unmaskedbsu@gmail.com. I'm Nick Ciano. Thanks for listening.